Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I did not grow up with that declaration in my church all the years that I was a child and a teenager. I grew up with, "This ends the reading," or "God, may God bless the reading," or sometimes just silence. And I think the first time I heard the word of God for the people of God was actually in seminary. And I thought about the theology of it and decided to adopt it for my own because of what it proclaimed. The problem is then Sundays like this come up, and I'm verklempt. The lectionary text for today is from Luke, towards the end of Luke, because the lectionary year ends at the end of November and starts on the first Sunday of Advent. So we've been through the year of Luke, and soon we will begin the year of Matthew, which is another really easy gospel to preach on. I'm really looking forward to that one. So I thought about picking another text when I read it, and some Sundays I do. I don't have to, as a United Methodist minister, preach on the lectionary. In some traditions, you have to. You're not given a choice. But I'm very committed most Sundays to using the lectionary text because then I personally have to struggle with that text. And this year, I have asked the staff to struggle with me, so we are having a lectionary study during the week. But honestly, when I read a text that's as difficult as this one, told as words of Jesus, I'm inclined to end with the word of God for the people of God and ask it as a question, and then we could vote. All in favor who think it's yes, this is the word of God, we would raise our hands. Those who aren't sure would abstain. And those who say no, I don't think this is part of the gospel message, would say let's move on. But I decided it would be pretty messy. And ultimately, isn't that the question every single week for every single scripture? Some texts have a great power to reveal God to us, others less so. And sometimes it's just very personal whether or not we hear God in the message. So here is this text chosen by ancients for us. And so we are supposed to think, what is it saying to us today? forcing us to grapple with what word it is for our lives. Interestingly enough, and you should know this, that a lot of scholars today say that the harder the text is to hear, the more likely Jesus said it. He wasn't about trivial things, was he? He was about hard, difficult things, transformational things. Luke gives us this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and it's this eschatological balancing of the scales. Last week I gave you the word soteriology. This week I'm giving you eschatological. And if you want me to spell that, send me an email and I'll type it for you. But it really is about the last things, the end things. And this parable seems to be saying, at least at first glance, that those who have in this life will suffer in the next, and those who have nothing in this life will have comfort in the next. And so the first part of the story seems to be not about punishment, just simply about the way it is. It's fair. It's the way it is. You have now, you don't have later. When we were talking in our lectionary study this week, though, it was pointed out by one of us that the story really isn't fair. I mean, the rich man had what he needed in this life, but Lazarus is going to have what he needs for eternity. Doesn't sound fair, does it? And it's not balance. And my question to Jesus is, where is the redemption? Is there any redemption in this story at all? Isn't our faith about redemption? Isn't it about forgiveness? Isn't it about being able to make things right? I mean, really, it needs to be about being able to make things right, doesn't it? I believe that we're never without God's love and that we're always in the presence of God, but this story really challenges us about what that means. Because in our story, Abraham tells the rich man, I'm sorry, but there's absolutely nothing I can do for you. The chasm between here and there is just too wide. And besides, it's too late, Abraham says. And the rich man doesn't sound cruel. He sounds clueless. He doesn't seem to get it even after he's dead. I mean, really, the rich man says to Abraham, have Lazarus dip his finger in the water to cool my tongue. He's talking to him in the third person. He's still a servant. He's still a slave. And all the rich man can think about is his own comforts. He doesn't even really see Lazarus. He wants this guy to help him out. The rich man looks right past him to the big cheese, the one he should really be talking to, right? Lazarus was invisible to him in life, and he is still invisible to him in death, even though this man laid outside his gates in his sore-ridden body starving. And Abraham says the chasm between here and there, it's awfully, awfully wide and seems almost impossible to cross. And if the rich man cannot see Lazarus now, I'm wondering if redemption isn't possible. Maybe it is too late. And then the rich man begs Father Abraham. He says, okay, maybe I'm stuck here, but could you send Lazarus, once again, to go talk to my brothers? I got five of them, and give them a heads up so that they will be saved from this torment. When I read that, I thought, oh, so there is a way out. There is redemption. I mean, the rich man is asking, go tell my brothers. Do not let them make the same mistake. If only my brothers could hear what would happen to them, they would change their ways, which of course means that they're living exactly the same life that their brother was living, and that there is suffering all around them and they cannot see it. And the rich man wants his brothers, for the first time, to see the invisible around them and do something before it is too late. But the poor Lazarus, he's now comforted. He is no longer sick and starving, and he is protected from the rich, who would send him on missions. He is now eternally comforted. If we think about this parable, and I did think about it a lot this week, we might say that we can't identify with either of these characters. None of us are so poor that we don't have health care and sores on our bodies. None of us are so poor that we sit outside someone else's home hoping that they will give us some food. And the rich man? We're a giving community. We gather together to figure out ways to help and to bless others. If there was a hungry, dying person sitting outside our doors, we would all figure out a way to help them, wouldn't we? But before we go any further, I want to share a secret with you. One of my dirty little secrets. I'm not proud of this secret, but I'm going to share it with you. Whenever I drive north on Spear Boulevard, can you guess which lane I stay in? No, not the right one, but you're close. The middle one. Does anybody want to tell me why I stay in the middle lane on Spear Boulevard? Because there's beggars on either side. You're right, Kathy. Because I can stay just this further away and keep the invisible invisible, can't I? I can't read what's on the sign. I saw one yesterday that said, "I am pregnant and homeless." It was in big letters. See, I was raised by a very generous father, and he told me that I should give to every single person who needed. And he said, you shouldn't make judgments about whether or not they deserve your help. You do not know their stories. That's between them and God, he would say. So when I drive down the middle lane and the chasm between here and there is so wide, I can hear my father saying, you should be helping them. But as an adult, I have to admit, I have found ways to help. I have found ways to help. But his teachings haunt me, and you know why? It's because I think in the human condition with so much and we see so much that we begin to make judgments about who are the deserving of our gift and who are the undeserving of our gift. And as long as I'm in that middle lane driving down the middle, I don't have to know whether or not that person might spend that money on cigarettes or alcohol now, do I? Now, my father would drive in the left lane and he would roll down his window every time. I want to tell you another confession, though, and that is that I do not believe that we are ever separated from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Nothing ever separates. And I also believe that we are always with God and it is never too late. And when we go on to glory, we are all with God. I have had people in congregations tell me they don't like that I believe that because there needs to be justice. But I tell you right honestly, I can't do this job if God isn't with us always in all forms, in all lives. It's, I think, the human race who chooses who should get and who should not, and who makes it and who doesn't. It isn't God that puts up the walls. But I do believe that even though that is true for me, that there are times when it is too late. And it's too late because in this life we didn't help somebody. In this life, we could have made a difference. In this life, we could have served God through Jesus Christ. And in this life, we could have made visible all the invisible around us. And so who it's too late for is the person we do not help. This rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers. Now, honestly, those are the people I identify with. The five brothers. Those who are waiting for a sign, they need a word, they need reminded daily that there are invisible people all around us, people who need a sign, a word that would help them lead generous and gracious lives, not bad, not good, but human. Tony Campolo is a famous minister. Some of you may know who he is. And he has gone through an amazing transformation in his own life. To watch his journey and to see his struggle with his own theology is really something to behold. He has never stopped learning. But he said this, "I don't believe that the line between good and evil is found in the space between me and another person. I believe that the line between good and evil runs smack down the middle of each and one of us. Some days good, some days not. The human struggle. We draw lines and boundaries all the time that put distance between us and the other. It's like driving in the center lane, isn't it? The problem is that I think Jesus spent his life trying to help us understand that when we draw the boundaries between ourselves and others, we are drawing a boundary between us and God. It is inevitable, and we make the chasm between here and there so far. What if we could walk across the chasm? What if we could shorten the distance? What if we could help another person in this life? Well, I have an example, an easy one. Crop Walk is October 16th. It bridges the chasm between here and there. It makes visible the invisible. It helps feed the Lazarus who's sitting outside of our doorstep before it's too late. Too late for those who have no nourishment. When I read this story at the end, I hear redemption. We have been given a message of hope because we have been given the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus' life is resurrected and speaking to us today. God's gift through Christ stands at our door knocking. If we are willing to answer, we may not find someone who looks like us, but we may very well find someone who looks like our God, making the visible to all of us for all the world to see. Here's the question. The word of God for the people of God? Thanks be to God. Amen.